Father, Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing in all of us. Lord, I thank you that you're taking all of this darkness out of us, Lord, and you're making us the person, the spirit that you want us to be wholeheartedly. Lord, I thank you that you've placed it in our hearts to run after you with all of our heart, Lord. I praise you for that. Father, I just ask for the great work you're going to do tonight in all that we talk about tonight, talking about faction, talking about prayer, talking about whatever it is that you want us to talk about, Father. And I just thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that you're getting us all ready for this great trial that's coming up so that we can help other people. And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was telling everybody else a while ago, I'm on my laptop, and for some reason I've got an echo in my headset, and I hadn't really figured out how to get it out of there. So I may have a little bit of trouble understanding you. So you may have to talk a little bit slower than normal for me to understand. I apologize for that. I didn't realize it was going to be a problem tonight because I've used it before and without a problem, but apparently I changed something somewhere down the line there. So with that, let's go ahead and open up and see if see what the Lord's going to do. Anybody got any prayer requests or would like to pray about something?
Yes, Michael.
Yes, go ahead.
Barry hasn't been... Barry isn't feeling good, and I would just like to have prayer for him. He missed work today, and he really needs to go to work tomorrow. So,
okay, yeah, go ahead, and we'll pray. We'll believe with you.
Okay. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would complete the healing in Barry and give him strength and your joy so that he can go to work tomorrow and be praising you about it. Because I know that by Jesus' stripes, he was healed. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. We just believe that he has received in Jesus' name and that he's going to be completely restored in the morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else?
Michael?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Judy.
Or Judy.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I just wanted to pray for my oldest daughter that she finds a job. She's been about out of work for 3.5 weeks or so now. She does have a, on her record, she has, I lost it now. But anyhow, she can't get a job when she has a felony. When you have a felony, it's like in Indiana, they just don't hire felonies. A lot of, especially corporate companies. And she's having a really hard time finding something. So, Lord, I'm asking you to help Angie find a job this week. You know her struggles and what she's doing. Help her to come closer to you and know you better and to praise you that when you do get this job for her, she's going to know that you're the one that did this and she'll praise you for it. And I thank you, Lord, for all the work that you're doing in her to bring her closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we believe with Judy that she's going to find a job tomorrow in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
All right. Anyone else? Well, what about a praise report or a testimony? Anybody got a praise report or a testimony? Well, I got a praise report. I made it back to Arkansas without any problems. Things were okay here. I've got a to-do list about 1.5 miles long, but I'm scratching through it. And we're getting things done and been good. I've had some real good visits with my grandsons and my granddaughters, and it's just been awesome. So I just praise you, God, for allowing this visit, and I've been able to minister a little bit, and that's been good too. So we're walking and being led by the Spirit when we do these things. So anyway, that's what we got. That's what we're doing here. We're getting all these to-do lists and helping out where we can and ministering where we can and when we can, when the Lord directs, and we're seeing results. That's good. Okay, anybody else? I know this bunch is blessed more than that. I know y'all got some more praise report. Come on now. I'm just blessed to be alive. I'm going, you know, what we should be really blessed about is that God's fixing to take us through this thing. We're going to see some mighty, mighty wonderful works of God that's going to take place here in a little while. It's going to be awesome. And that's why he's training us up. And that's why these things that come up, like the question that I asked last week that we get a word for is, Lord, give us words concerning faction spirits in our midst. And you know what was kind of odd about today? I called David and I had a word this morning that the Lord had asked. Actually, the Lord put it in my heart to ask this question. And I don't have any idea what they're getting up in Tennessee. But the question that I asked the Lord, and he gave it to me because I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have asked this question. He said, are we praying correctly for the brethren that are struggling? And I got Isaiah 26 and 8. And yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. To thy name, even to thy memorial name, is the desire of our soul. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee earnestly. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness in the land of uprightness, and will he deal wrongfully, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. I believe the Lord is telling us there is that God's saying that some's going to have to be judged before they repent. Hey, Megan, can you mute your phone? We're getting a lot of noise there. And what's interesting about this, David had asked him yesterday to get a prayer for this morning. And here's the question he asked him to ask the Lord. He said, has our prayer for the people who are in danger of falling to faction accomplished victory for them, or what do we need to pray? And that was, I thought was awesome that the Lord had put it on my heart to answer that. Basically, it's the same question with God's word. And of course, everybody in the morning meeting also got a word for the same thing. And I know Judy's on here and she'll probably want to give her word, and I know some others will. And when everybody's through giving their word and we talk about it, if we got time, I'll go ahead and give you those words. Did anybody else get a word for the question that we asked? Lord, give us a word concerning faction spirits in our midst. Okay. All right. Anybody else get a word? Now, that's not the word that I got for this tonight. The one I got tonight is a different word.
Michael?
Yes, go ahead.
I got Ezekiel 36:19-20, and that was this morning. And it's, and I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. And that was this morning. And then I asked the Lord this evening, and I got Ezekiel 36:28. And that was, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God.
Amen. Okay,
yes.
Now what was that first one, Claudia?
Ezekiel 36:28. Oh, wait a minute. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, that's the one you just got through quoting.
Yeah. 36:19-20.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and I think Stan wanted to give his too. So here he is.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, I flipped it open this evening and got Ezekiel 9:6. And it says, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men, the old men, which were before the house. So it sounds like those who are factious and not repentant will be taken out.
Amen.
But Amen. Of course, it's not by us. It's by, you know, the Lord was speaking to the angel and gave the angel that command. And we know from the corresponding passage in Kings, which was talking about what actually happened when this was fulfilled, it was the Assyrians that took them out. That's it. Michael? Hello?
Yeah, I have to unmute, don't I, to talk?
Yeah, usually helps. Okay.
Well, all right. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'll give what I got. Michael, it's in Matthew 18. And I actually put my finger down between 7 and 8, but I'm going to go back to verse 6 and read that. And this leading up to this is when Jesus said, unless we become like a child, we cannot enter into the kingdom. In verse 6 it says, but whosoever shall cause one of these little ones that believe on me to stumble, it is profitable for him that a great millstone should be hanged about his neck, and he should be sunk in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of occasion of stumbling, for it must needs be that the occasion come. But woe to that man through whom the occasion cometh. And if any hand of thy foot or thy foot causeth thee to stumble, cut it off and cast it from thee. It is good for thee to enter into to life maimed or halt, rather than having two hands and two feet to be cast into extreme eternal fire. I guess thinking about the factious people, going back to verse 6 there where it says about offending one of his little ones, and that can be talking about in the natural or it can be talking about in the spirit. The little ones are the baby Christians. And I think about when the factious people from our group left, and they have tried ever since they left getting in contact with some of our people. And my sister was one of them, and she was a very much a baby Christian at that time. And they sent her, you know, messages telling her how they were praying for us because we were deceived, and they haven't quit since. They just keep trying to get in touch with people. So I guess that's what I see about being factious there.
Okay. All right. There again, I'm having real audio problems here with my speaker, so y'all have to just kind of help me out here. Marlon, what were those verses again? I got Matthew 18, but I didn't get the verses.
I put my finger down between 7 and 8, but I read 6, 7, and 8.
Okay, thank you. 6, 7, and 8. Okay. All right. Anybody else?
I gave you mine, but I seen something else there Marlon was saying. When it talked about cutting off the foot and cutting off the hand, it's not talking about the individual being cut off. It's about the individuals of the body being cut off. I would think the factious people are being cut off out of the body. Okay. Michael just asked that question. What did you receive? I just decided to see what I would get right now. I got Jeremiah 1:11 through 19. And it goes this way. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see the branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you see well, for I am watching over my word to fulfill it. The word of the Lord came to me a second time saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north, the evil will reveal itself and spill out on all the people of the land. For behold, I will call all the tribes of the kings of the north, says the Lord, and they will come. Each one will set up his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem and against all its surrounding walls and against all the cities of Judah. I will speak my judgments against them. For all the wickedness of those who have abandoned and rejected me, offering sacrifices of burnt incense to the gods and worship the idolatrous works of their own hands. But you, Jeremiah, gird up your loins and get up and tell them all which I command you. Do not be distraught and break down at the sight of their hostile faces, or I will bewilder you before them and allow you to be overcome. Now behold, I have made you today like a fortified city, like an iron pillar, like bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its leaders, against its priests, against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail over you, for I am with you to protect you and deliver you, says the Lord. So, kind of obvious here, you know, we're going to see a lot of things come up against us. And it's going to be not necessarily faction, even from within our midst, it'll be the beast itself. And as long as we hold our ground and know the Lord's be and realize the Lord has fortified us, He's going to stand behind us and He's going to be there to see us through this. We're going to be the overcomers, but we cannot let what we see come against us dissuade us, pull us down or distract us, because if we do, then we could be taken out. But if we hold our ground and know that the Lord is there to fulfill His word in us and see this ultimately through this, then we're going to have the victory. We are not going to fail. He's going to deliver us through all this. He said He's going to deliver us. So the point is, remember that, you know, when we're in the battle or we see it coming up against us or we see there this stuff come in our face, not to be distraught about it. We're going to be overcoming. The Lord's going to be there behind us to make us a bronze wall. And we are that bronze wall. We may not even see it yet, the fullness of what we're going to be, but we don't have to worry about that. The Lord's going to be there to push us and get us through this. But we cannot look back. We don't want to be like Lot's wife. You know, not that she looked back for her desiring of the city. We can't fail to look back and think we can't do this, because we're not going to do it on our own. The Lord's going to be with us to do it. That's what I got.
Okay. What were those verses? What was the reference again, David? I'm sorry.
Jeremiah 1, starting at verse 11. And ending at Jeremiah 1, 19.
Okay. 11 through 19. Good deal. All right, that's good. Those that forsake the law is not in obedience. When you're not in obedience, you're out of the house. Praise God. Okay, Lord, we just thank you that you're going to bring them back, Lord. You're going to bring them back. Well, that's our prayer, Father. We just pray that you would bring them back before all this starts, Lord. They would get a revelation from you, Father, that they are on that road to destruction. And we praise you, Father, for what you're doing in their lives right now. In Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else?
Yes. I got Acts 3:13.
Again, Vanessa, which one? What book?
Acts.
Acts?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And what chapter?
3. Uh-huh.
And what verse? I'm sorry.
13.
Okay. I got
That's
her.
Right.
Praise God.
Okay. I think I'm going to read a few verses.
Okay. That's fine.
The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised up from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all.
All right. Well, it looks like that the Lord is wanting to give him repentance so far. 2017, he said, "Now, brethren, I know that in ignorance you did it, as did also your ruler."
Hmm.
Praise God. That'd be good.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else?
Hello, Michael.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Marlene.
Oh, okay. Mine goes back to a dream I had on October 16th. I woke up about 5:37 after the dream, and I got Jeremiah 25:3, and then for the Bible study that night, David mentioned that you had gotten Jeremiah 25, I think verses 8-12. I thought that was interesting, and Jeremiah 25:3 is from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even to this day, this is the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord came to me. And I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you have not listened. Okay, I'm going to read down to verse 5. And the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, repent now, everyone, of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. In the dream, I saw sort of a picnic grove, trees on one part and then an open field on the other part, and I saw these two twin boys running toward a body of water. I couldn't tell whether it was a lake or a river bank. And one of the twins was saying Jeremiah 25:3. So, and I thought it was interesting then, you know, later that day, and David said you had received Jeremiah 25, you know. So.
Awesome.
Okay, that's all.
Okay, good deal.
And also, though, that same Bible study then, David had mentioned several people got Jeremiah 33:3. And do you remember, like, a couple weeks ago when I had that those numbers in a dream?
Yep.
Do you remember that? I had 33:3, 9:1, 3:3. And, immediately I thought of Jeremiah 33:3.
Yeah.
That's kind of like another confirmation.
Yeah, you know, that's been coming up quite often. That and there's a couple of more, the Watchman thing that comes up quite often. That's cool. I know Eve has gotten it a couple of times too.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah.
I'll give you the one that I got. I first was wondering how it fit in, but I do believe that it does. It was Mark chapter 13, and my finger was on verse 19. I'm going to read through 23, though. For those days shall be tribulation, such as there hath not been like from the beginning of creation, which God created until now, and never shall be. And except the Lord had shortened the days, no flesh would have been saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. And then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is the Christ, or Lo, there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show signs and wonders that they may lead astray, if possible, the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have told you all things beforehand. And then verse 33 says, Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. And you had just mentioned about watching, and that was in verse 33. I wasn't originally going to read that one. But I feel that it's a time that the Lord wants us to really be discerning of spirits, because this is a time when the false Christ and false prophets want to lead those away, the ones that it's possible to lead away. That's going to be their goal, and that would be faction, dividing and conquering. And today I got the verse John 13, verse 34. And I just, it says, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And I believe that's just what he really wants us to do in this day, is to be obedient to his commandment and don't be factious and divisive, but love one another as he does. Anyway, those were the verses that I got. Tracy had given me what she had gotten today, and the first one she had was from Jeremiah 40, verse 3. And that one says, And the Lord hath brought it, and done according as he spake, because ye have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore this thing is come upon you. And she felt that it was the Lord who was going to be looking out after his people, and he was going to be making things right. And the other one she had was from... I had that one wrong. that the Lord was going to bring tribulation because of rebellion. I was mixing my notes up. And then the other one she had was from Zechariah 14, verse 21. And it says, Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holy unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and boil therein. And in that day there shall be no more a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. And that was the one where she felt, you know, the Lord would be taking them out, those that would be coming against his people, that the Lord would move them out. That would be faction. Okay.
Give me those last two references again, Gaynold. I'm sorry.
Okay. The ones that Tracy got was Zechariah 14, verse 21.
13, 29.
21.
21, okay.
And Jeremiah 40, verse 3.
Jeremiah 40, verse 3. Okay, I had 30, so that's where 40. I missed it. I got you
and,
now.
Right, and I had Mark chapter 13, verses 19 through 23. And I also read 33.
Mm-hmm.
And then John 13, verse 34.
I got to. That's good. Well, all right. What else?
Michael, I have a couple of verses. I'm not sure if they fit, but Mark chapter 14, verse 4, and Mark chapter 14, verse 5, dealing with the ointment the lady put on Jesus. It says, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And I was, that's the two verses. Hello?
We heard you, Wade. Michael, you muted?
Yeah, I was muted. Wade, what was that reference again, Mark?
14:4 and 14:5. Mark chapter 14:4 and 14:5.
I got you. I had 13 down. So, okay. That's good. I got her now. Yes, Lord. Well, you know, that's kind of the way that the faction starts, you know. They take up little stuff there and make something big out of it.
Indignation. All right.
What's that, right. Dave?
A little indignation there.
Yeah. Yep. All right, anyone else? Well, I got Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And I'm going to read 20 through 33. And my finger was on 22, I believe, is where it was. Proverbs chapter 1, 20 through 33. Wisdom crieth aloud in the street. She uttereth her voice in the broad places. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight them in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man hath regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh in the day of your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a storm, and your calamity cometh on as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then will they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the backsliding of the simple shall slay them, and the careless ease of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell securely, and shall be quiet without fear of evil. Well, that's where I want to be, right there. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell securely, and shall be quiet without fear of evil. Well, of course, that's pretty plain there. He's saying, you know, he's giving them a chance. He's given them a chance many times. And they have refused those chances. He stretched out his hand, but nobody regarded it. And that's when he said, I'm going to laugh at the day of your calamity when you holler out to me. I'm just going to laugh at you. I'm not going to listen to a word you say. Right now is the time of salvation, isn't it? Right now is the time to get it all right. The Lord is really fine-tuning our hearts and how we surrender to those things determines where we're going to be. I know that there's some people that may or may be out there that are struggling, you know, to do the things that God wants you to do. Just give it to Him. Just, Lord, I want to get rid of all this stuff, and I can't do it on my own. I got to have your help. And I thank you, Father, for taking it from me. And then you have faith then, you see. You have that little bit of faith that God's given you, and that's all it takes. And He'll take all that stuff away from you. Don't allow the enemy to take you out this close to what's fixing to happen. And I believe that's what God's telling all of us. Don't allow the enemy to take you out of that overcoming power of the Holy Spirit in these days. Overcome. Allow Him to help you to overcome these things that has come upon us, you know, and that has actually put us in bondage at times, most of our lives. I know I've seen it happen time and time again. People get to a certain level. Some people, I'm not saying all, but some people get to a certain level and they get tired and I can't do this anymore. Yes, you can. That's right. You can't, but God can. And that's what we have to do. We have to allow God to take all this junk out of us. It's nothing that Michael can do, I can do, or you can do. The only thing we have to do is to have faith to believe that God's doing that in us. And He'll perfect you with that faith that you have. And guess what? He gives you the faith too. So it's all about God and His, what work He's doing in each one of us. Praise God. All right. Anybody else get a word? Judy still in here?
Michael, I was just noticing all of the variations of the number three.
I'm still here.
Hello?
Michael, I'm still here.
Yeah, okay, Judy. Marlene's talking right now. Let's see what she has to say. Go ahead, Marlene.
You were writing the scriptures down also, weren't you, that people were giving tonight?
Boy, I'm having a hard time understanding what you're saying. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. Have you been writing down the scriptures tonight that
yes,
people
I have.
Have been giving?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Did you notice all the number threes in everything? Like Claudia gave Ezekiel 36, and then Vanessa gave Acts 3:13. I gave Jeremiah 25, 3-5. Gaynold had Mark 13 and then 23 and 33 and John 13, 34. Tracy got Jeremiah 40, verse 3. You gave Proverbs all the way to verse 33. There's so many threes tonight.
Yeah. Well, no, I hadn't noticed that, but yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I've also noticed the similarities in the themes of each of these words as well.
Yeah. I wonder what the Lord's trying to tell us through all the threes tonight.
Well, what does three mean?
Well, I thought it meant perfection and completeness and resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's see what I got here. Divine completeness and perfection is what I got. Yeah. So that's what God's wanting us to attain for, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what he's wanting.
But I just wondered, you know, it's off the subject, so, you know.
Amen.
Like if we're talking about faction, you know, where does it fit in with that then?
Yeah. Well, you see, do you see the perfection that he's doing here with each one of us? Different times we've gotten these, different places. Different everything, but they're all coming together and telling us something here. That is awesome to me.
Yeah.
That is so awesome.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Judy, I noticed you had gotten a word too for this morning. You want to give that out?
I didn't have one. I didn't know what, because I hadn't been on the last couple calls.
You didn't have a word this morning's meeting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had that. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. It's along the same lines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. Because Brother David put a thing on the email, and it's the same thing. Hold on just one second. I'm sorry. I have to go in the other room and get my paper.
That's okay.
Okay.
Don't let it happen again, okay?
Okay, I got 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. My finger was on 27. I read 24 to 27. Then I just spoke because it was about the false prophets and what God can do. And so then I just read 38 and 39 is how I did it.
Okay.
It was about when they built the altar and the false prophets couldn't make the rain come. And, you know, and they did everything they could do to make it come. And so I just kind of, because I had this same verse not very long ago. And so I'm trying to find it in the Bible where I'm reading it. Okay.
Did you say it was 1 Kings 18?
Yes, 1 Kings 18.
And what verses?
I read 24 to 27. Then I just said, then I read 38 to 39. I didn't read all the verses in between. I just talked about, you know, that the false prophets, that didn't work with what they were doing, and that Elijah did his offering, and he had to do it three times. He had to bring water, and he had to fill four jars with water, and then they had to do it three times, but then his was the one that had the fire come down, so all the people knew then for sure that was God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. I'm going to go ahead and read them. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. That's the one you're talking about, that you started at, wasn't it, Judy?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and call ye on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourself and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped about the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he's gone aside, or he's on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. Don't you know Elijah was having a ball here? I'm just going to go ahead and read it. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it was so when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening oblation. But there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was thrown down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill 4 jars with water, and pour it on the burnt offering, and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening oblation that Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou, the Lord, art God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Well, amen. Praise God. It's revival time when something like that happens, isn't it? I thought that was awesome. I've always loved that story. Because God's going to back up his word, what it says. If you follow what God says, he's going to back you up. All them promises he's given it. Go ahead. Somebody was saying something.
I said heard. Amen.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord. That's one of my favorite stories. Choose this day who's your Lord. Well, they were choosing. Praise God. All right.
Michael, what book was that from?
Go ahead.
What book was that from?
What book? That's in 1 Kings chapter 18.
Okay, thanks.
Verses 24 through 39. 24 through 39. He made them declare, didn't he? They saw the power of God. And the people in the days ahead are going to see the power of God. Some of the Pharisees and Sadducees are going to come against God's people. That's okay. We win. We know we read the end of the book. We win. Praise God.
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
I just wanted to I just think that story, I think we can all see that, but the story, the way it's written, it seems so sensitive and touching, because it's almost on the par with Abraham going with his son Isaac up to offer a sacrifice, which was actually Isaac. But the way it was written was very sensitive. Without, I don't know. It's just the way some of these passages, the stories are related. You know, especially when I'm thinking of is how. Wait a minute. Was Elijah or it was Elijah. It wasn't Elisha. Elijah asked the people to draw near as he repaired the altar, and I there's so much in that little thing right there where he asked them to draw near, and very sweet. So just a special, repairing of the breach and a bringing, guiding Israel back to their true God, the only God. Michael, do you mind muting me? If that's okay. Once you get your mute button. Thanks.
I can do that. Yeah, that's that story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal got a lot of stuff in it. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? Get a word for tonight. Give us a word concerning faction spirits in our midst. Well, you know what's amazing is that we had this last week, and then David had asked the local group to give it this morning, and he had asked him yesterday to get one this morning on basically the same thing, and then I had. Before even talking with David this morning, the Lord had told me to get a verse on basically the same thing. And that's just awesome what God's done. He don't like faction. He doesn't like divisiveness in the body of Christ. There should be no divisiveness. We're in one accord. How are you going to be in one accord if you've got judgment against somebody, if you got criticism against somebody? You can't get into that one accord doing any kind of criticism about your neighbor to somebody else. He said, Lord tells you to go to them if you got aught against them. If you go to your neighbor and say, oh, you know Jim over there, he did this, he did that, that's faction. Supposed to go to them first. You tell them. And if somebody comes to you with criticism about somebody else, you need to stop them right then. That spirit is the worst spirit that we've ever seen. All you got to do is sit there and listen to somebody before that spirit will jump on you. And it'll jump on you too. I guarantee you. I guarantee you it'll jump on you if you sit there and listen to it. And that's why God is so careful to let us know about it. He said, don't listen to it. Faction men, first or second time, you're supposed to just kick them out. Okay, anybody else?
Michael, I was thinking about, 3 days ago, I was just wanting to... I was just casting about as to what to read in the Bible, and it occurred to me to look at Psalms 42 and 43. And so in the process of going through that, I decided to look at a commentary, and it said actually Psalms 42 and 43 were originally one psalm. And I thought, by George, I always thought they were supposed to be together, because it has the same refrain in there. It's got it just seems to flow all together as one. But It's just the cry, and of course the first verse is that, you know, songs have been written just on the first verse of, as the deer panteth, or it says in King James, as the heart, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee, O Lord. And it's this whole thing of the author of the psalm wanting, missing God's presence and missing his temple and missing Jerusalem and wanting to get back to that, you know, the temple. And it's such an awesome psalm. I mean, there's just so much there. I even asked the Lord to give me some music to go with it, but as I kept going over it, I thought, there's so much here, I don't know how you could ever do a simple song with it, because it seems to be quite comprehensive. It talks about the wicked and about the, I guess, you know, the, I don't know if you call it the factious, but, you know, there's this cry that, you know, why, you know, they keep saying, where is thy God, which is it's a kind of a common refrain in the Psalms. Where is thy God? In other words, people mocking you because they're not seeing the power of God in your life. Or for whatever reason, people are just mocking, you know. And I think that's what's going on with Elijah there on the mountain. They're saying, well, who's the true God? Where is your God? And the Lord saw fit at that time to make it very clear and fulfill that for Elijah and God's true people at that time. Anyway, it was just very meaningful to me to go back over that psalm. And I think that's one of the first psalms that I really started studying back in the 2007 after being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was just very meaningful to me. And I started praying, especially the part in Psalms 43, O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me, let them bring me to thy holy hill, I think it says in King James. But, you know, and I started praying it as though, O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead, let them lead Michael, or let them lead David, let them lead Chad, or, you know, whoever. Just whoever you're praying for, you know, to pray that specifically and just put their name in. But anyway, it just and there's that 53, another three. But anyway, it wasn't like a word. I wouldn't put it on a level of a word responding to the question of faction or whatnot. It was just a little more encompassing for me to be reading those psalms right now.
Hey, did you say Psalm 42?
42 and 43. And if you look at the underlying Hebrew, it says it talks about through the God of my health, meaning as in being healthy, or the God of my help. And if you look at the original, it could mean either one or the other, but the King James translators just chose to use different words, and I'm not sure what their motivation was or if there was some contextual reason to do that. Maybe, you know how the King James Psalms, the way they render the Psalms is quite a little more poetic than some other versions, so I don't know if it was just they chose, you know, a different English word for that same Hebrew where they were translating. But anyway, it's just really awesome to get into some of these things and spend a little time with them and just think about them. Think about what the Lord's trying to say there. No, and to me, to what he's saying to me at that time, whatever, you know, to deal with whatever's going on that I'm experiencing.
Amen.
Like, do you mind, while I'm unmuted here, I'd like to say something else that's totally unrelated to any of these things.
Yeah, go ahead.
A while back, people were getting words to pray for the people in the Middle East. And if you've been following the news in Mosul and some of these other places, the U.S. is specifically targeting schools, hospitals. They're supposed to be attacking ISIS, but they seem to be going after just civilian targets. And I've just been praying for these people because we can't go over there and get involved, but we can certainly pray. So I've just been praying that God will spare his elect. And, you know, of course, it's upsetting to hear that we seem to be always on the wrong side of things and whoever we're attacking. I guess if you're attacking anybody, you're on the wrong side. Anyway, so back to you, Michael, if you don't mind, if you could mute me.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Malcolm. All right, anybody else? Anybody get a word? Anybody else get a word on what tonight's subject is? The Lord, give us a word concerning faction spirits in our midst. Well, in that case.
Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Stan. I wanted to correct something I said. I said that it was the Assyrians that carried out that judgment, and that can't be right because that was in Jerusalem. It had to be the Babylonians. Just a correction.
Okay. Let's see here. I'm having a hard time here, folks, understanding people. But y'all have to really forgive me tonight. You're supposed to. Well, I had them. I'm trying to find them. Y'all have to give me a few minutes here. Let me see what I can find here. Okay, here it is. He said, on the 24th, we decided to ask this question of the Lord and come back the next morning with our verses. Has our prayer for the people who are in danger of falling to faction accomplished victory for them, or what do we need to pray? And here's the answers they got. And I've already read Judy's. And David's, I'm going to read his interpretation of what they got. Judy's on that 1 Kings 18 about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. He said, the one whose God consumes their flesh will be acceptable. Their God is God. The others were driven out. And somebody else got 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 6. Then the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves. I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the country. And then we'll drop down to verse 12. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him so as not to destroy him altogether. And moreover, in Judah, there were good things found. So here's the key to keeping out of that stuff. David said, those who humble themselves will not be destroyed. And that's what we have to do. We can't allow pride to take us out. And that's what happens when you refuse to obey God's word. It's pride. And then another person got Jeremiah 31 and 29. In those days they shall say no more. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. And David said, those who repent of their generational curses will be spared. And then someone else got Colossians chapter 3 in verse 22, servants obey in all things them that are your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. David says, those who obey those who have been put over them and not just to be seen of men. And then verse 23 of Colossians 3 says, whatsoever ye do, work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. David says, don't steal. Work like you're working for the Lord. In other words, if you have a regular job, work that job just as if you were working for the Lord. And that's what you're doing. And then verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you shall receive the recompense of the inheritance, you serve the Lord Christ. For he that doeth wrong shall receive again for the wrong that he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. David says, every factious person who has worked for the ministry took money, but they did not do their job. And that's the truth. I've seen it myself. Almost every one of the factious people that were working for the ministry stole money, took money. And then another one got Revelation 18, 21 through 24. And a strong angel took up a stone, as it were, a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with a mighty fall shall Babylon, the great city, be cast down, and shall be found no more at all. And David puts in there, he says, rock from sky judgment separates those in the Babylonish city. Verse 22, and the voice of harpers and minstrels and flute players and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsmen of whatsoever craft shall be found any more at all in thee, and the voice of a mill shall be heard no more at all in thee. Verse 23, and the light of a lamp shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were princes of the earth, for with thy sorcery were all the nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that have been slain upon the earth. And David says, separated from the bride and groom. And then another one got Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. This is the end of the matter. All hath been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. David says, hidden sin will be judged by faction spirits. You've got a hidden sin that God's been working with you to get rid of. You could be taken out by these faction spirits. We've seen that happen more than we like to admit, but that it does. It takes them out. That hidden sin that they don't want to deal with, it'll take them out. Then there was Isaiah 22 and 1, the burden of the valley of vision. What aileth thee now, that thou art wholly gone up to the housetop? O thou that art full of shoutings, a tumultuous city, a joyous town, thy slain are not slain with the sword, neither are they dead in battle. David says, spiritually dead through faction. And that's what happens to the faction. They just get spiritually dead. We had a number of people fall back. One guy was filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues and went to the Mormons after he factioned out. Somebody else went back to the Baptists after they were filled with the Spirit. And other people have digressed. Another guy filled with the Spirit went to the Messianics. I mean, it's just like that. They're just spiritually dead. And in verse 3, all thy rulers fled away together. They were bound by the archers. And all that were found of thee were bound together. They fled afar off. Therefore said I, look away from me. I will weep bitterly. Labor not to comfort me for the destruction of the daughter of my people. For it is a day of discomfiture and of treading down and of perplexity from the Lord of hosts, in the valley of vision, a breaking down of the walls and a crying to the mountains. And David says, what if people do not repent and Hillary or Obama go into office? The war against Christianity starts thereafter. Isn't this amazing how God's putting all this together? Somebody else got Isaiah 63 and 10. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. Verse 11, then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them, that caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, that divided the waters before them, to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the depths as a horse in the wilderness, so that they stumbled not? As the cattle that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused them to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. David said, they forgot they were baptized unto death to self in the Red Sea. Oh, praise God. Someone else got Matthew 13 and 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again and I should heal them. Praise God. And then Kurt got Isaiah 5 and 7. For the vineyard of the Lord, well, where'd it go? For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for justice, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. Well, I'm going to stop there. Y'all can see what God's doing here. He is really, really impressing upon us to get right with him and not to allow this factious spirit to dwell in our midst. Praise God. Has anybody got anything they'd like to say about what we've just got through talking about? Don't y'all think it's awesome the way God is placing these things together, putting them together like this and giving us a full picture here? I do. I think it's awesome.
Hey, Michael?
Yeah.
One of the discussions this morning in the morning prayer meeting, too, was I sort of felt like, you know, God was really wanting us to search our own heart, make sure, you know, about maybe a possibility of faction in our own heart.
You did what, Kurt?
I said God was impressing me this morning to speak out that we should search our own heart also, that there's no factionist thoughts or feelings in our own heart individually.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's what all this is about. I think that's what it's all about. I'll tell you what, I'm going to read the Christian Snipers thing. And it's not that long. I think it's really appropriate for what God's doing in our lives now, is for us to be ever vigilant for this factious spirit. And it's called Christian Snipers. It's on the website. I think probably some of you have probably read it or listened to it. And the first one is Judy Miller at December the 10th in 2008. She says, I have never, to the best of my recollection, dreamed about someone I never met. But I can't seem to get it off my mind since this dream was about David. I thought it might be something he would understand. He and I and a woman who could have been his wife, but I never saw her, were in a big empty room like a cafeteria. David says the cafeteria is where food is served. So I believe this has something to do with our teachings we feed the saints with. There was only one table which was standing on its end in this empty room. It was one of those really heavy tables that it takes two people to move. David and the woman were on the underside of this table, and he was delivering a baby from her. And David says, delivering the baby under the table symbolizes being out of public view. Some people pay no attention that I worked very hard at delivering the fruit of Christ from the woman church behind the scenes. And that's true, he does. And then she goes on, I was on the top side digging a bullet slug out of David's back. David says, the top side of the table represents being in public. I was shot from the direction of the public, and Judy removed the slug in public. Sniping at me in public is the work of those who have critical spirits and do not know what I do 16 hours a day to serve the saints. Those who have wisdom of the word should publicly but gracefully correct slander, backbiting, gossip, and criticism. And that's so true. He works very hard for the Lord. How I was doing this through the table, I don't know, but the strange thing was this. He never seemed to notice he had a bullet in his back. He didn't acknowledge any pain while I was digging it out. He actually never said anything during this whole thing, but seemed to be concentrating on delivering this baby. The most important thing, David says, is delivering the baby. I get bullets in the back without me knowing it all the time because some don't speak to your face alone, as Jesus demands in Matthew 18:15, but go to the public, which is reserved for the third step in verse 17. And only when there is sin, Matthew 18:15, and if thy brother sin against thee, go show him his fault between thee and him alone. Him alone. Y'all get that? If he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he hear thee not, take with thee one or two more, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word may be established. And if he refuse to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he refuse to hear the church also, let him be unto thee as the Gentile and the publican. And David says, some who are influenced by critical spirits receive accusations against elders in their minds or from others, contrary to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 19, and then turn and accuse, gossip about, backbite, and slander them, effectively separating others from the leadership they need. This dream is showing us how God views this behavior. 1 Timothy 5 and 19 says, against an elder receive not an accusation, except at the mouth of two or three witnesses. And then Judy goes on and says, I finally managed to get the slug out of his back, and I held it up to the light, and it glittered on the brass when the light hit it. And I just smiled, and that was the end of the dream. David says, the glitter on the slug speaks of putting on a public display to impress men, since that's the way glitter is used. Public persecution has come against our ministry, and sadly, too often it is from within, as it was with Jesus. The righteous always repent when they realize they have been caught up in character assassination to cause division. Psalms 11 and 2. For lo, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked with and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. On the wicked he will rain snares. Fire and brimstone and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, he loveth righteousness. The upright shall behold his face. Proverbs 6 and 16. There are six things which the Lord hateth, yea, seven which are an abomination unto him. Verse 19. A false witness that uttereth lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. That's what the Lord hates. Romans 16 and 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which ye learned, and turn away from them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly, and by their smooth and fair speech they beguile the hearts of the innocent. Titus 3:10. A factious man, after a first and second admonition, refuse, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, and withal they learn also to be idle, going about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Father demands that we honor and obey true elders, David says. 1 Timothy 5 and 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in teaching. Hebrews 13 and 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit to them, for they watch in behalf of your souls, as they that shall give account, that they may do this with joy, and not with grief, for this were unprofitable for you. Amen. That's the Christian Sniper thing that's on the site. You can go there and get it if you like. But it's biblical based, talking about faction and talking against elders of the word, you know, or of the church. And you know, I think everybody on here knows that there are factious and slanderous sites out there that do exactly that. And I can tell you this from watching other people. You can go on those sites and that spirit will jump on you. I don't care if you're just going in there and thinking that I'm okay. It's okay. I really, really love David and all this stuff. But you get on those sites, that slanderous spirit, that faction spirit will jump on you. And the next thing, before you know it, you'll be out of here and spiritually dead. Now, that's the truth. And I'm telling you, I've seen it happen so many times. People go out there and they, well, I'm just going to check this out. I'm strong. I can do that. No, you can't. That spirit's strong. That spirit will jump on you. It's a bad spirit. And I just would hesitate. I'd ask the Lord before I went on, Lord, you want me to go on that site? Because I'm telling you, it's a bad demon. Okay, well, we got through that. Anybody got any comments on the Christian Snipers?
Michael?
Yes.
There's a really good YouTube message by Keith Daniel called Satan Found a Whisperer. It's a really good message. Have you heard of him before?
What's the name?
Keith Daniel. He's from South Africa.
Only what you've sent me on him. I'm not real familiar with him. When I get a chance, I'll take a look at it.
It's really good.
Okay.
He's a strong old time preacher, you know.
Okay.
Good values, you know.
Yeah. What's the name of the message?
The message is called Satan Found a Whisperer.
Okay.
It deals with faction and, you know, backbiting and talking about, you know, people.
Yeah. Well, that's the message God looks like is for today, right now.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody got something else they'd like to share? You know, even this presidential election, watching those, that bantering going back and forth, Hillary and Trump, that's faction as well. And, Lord has warned us about being news junkies. That's the way he put it, news junkies. When you always want to find something else to look at as far as what's going on in the news. And so we got to be very careful. What's more important, God or what's happening around us? Well, you know who orchestrates what happens around us, don't you? That's God. He's the one that does all this. So if we keep our eyes on him, he'll make sure. And you know, he's told us to pray for the evil and corrupt things that are that have happened out there to be exposed, and he's doing it. I guess now we need to be praying as well to open up the eyes and the ears of the American public to this corruption. And I think the Lord is going to do something. We'll see, you know. See. Well, anybody else got any thoughts on that? I know y'all haven't done this, but I caught myself the other night going through the news and spent about an hour and a half, 2 hours, you know, trying to figure out what the news was. I was just going to go on there for about 30 minutes. Next thing you know, it's 2 hours later, and I'm oh, man, what am I doing on this thing, you know? So that's what I'm saying. We got to watch what we're doing. And so I try to do that. I don't watch TV at all, hardly. But they had it on, and I was watching. I repent. You know who's the best newsmaker of all? That's God. He's a newsmaker. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I was thinking about some of the stuff I've been through. I was in a denomination, as you know, before, and I made a conscious decision for many years not to study into some things that people had raised questions about, historical issues in the denomination and some of the key leaders. When I finally decided to bite the bullet and start studying and reading some of the original letters, things that had been suppressed, I'm just trying to put all this in perspective. I was told by a number of people that if I do that, that it would lead me out of the denomination and I would really be on Satan's ground, because to put it in perspective of the terminology we have here, that would be factious. I'd be, you know, reading factious material. And I guess from Hillary's perspective, you could look at the WikiLeaks stuff as also factious, even though it appears to be original source material rather than subjective, because it's just the original, you know, emails. So maybe you could address, you know, at what point should we kind of keep our eyes closed, make a conscious decision not to look at things objectively, or when should we investigate and when should we not investigate?
Is that something you're asking me?
Yeah, because the issue, I have no interest, just because, well, whatever. And I don't want to try to play devil's advocate in trying to encourage people or allowing people to study into factious types of things. It's just that if you're looking at, I think a lot of us would like to see people be able to become aware, since the media, the regular media, is suppressing a lot of the things, the evil within the government. We, on that situation, we want people, the general public, to become aware of the corruption. So it's difficult, because we want to be honest and objective. But we also don't want to be listening to a whole bunch of, or be listening to false accusations, especially regarding people that are following the Lord. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So, you know, for me, to study into the early history of the denomination that I was in, I was told that from almost everybody around me, that I was treading on Satan's ground by investigating some of these things that had been basically forbidden writings and forbidden letters and forbidden information. And they would give me a list of people who had looked into these things and were now out of the church and had left the Lord, or left, you know, their understanding and whatnot. And of course, we were taught that if you leave the truth, then you're basically reprobated, because you once knew the truth. Of course, the problem is, you know, if it's not the truth that agrees with the Bible, then you're not really leaving the truth. But anyway, I'm trying to put all this in perspective of whether or not we should investigate things and where to draw that line. So, yeah, maybe you could address that.
Yeah, well, when you're talking about investigate, you're talking about one subject.
I'm talking about like a historical issue, like for instance, WikiLeaks. That's basically original source material. Letters, correspondence, stuff that isn't being spun. It's simply a factual historical thing. As long as it hasn't been doctored or anything. I think that's, when you're investigating, that's where you have to be very careful that you're not dealing with subjective analysis, which is basically saying, this person is a crook. And so, they'll take objective source materials, in other words, letters, email, meetings that were presented, and that kind of thing, and then they'll put a spin on it and say, well, that because they said this or that, now we know that they're crooks, or they're lying, or they're this or that, their character is flawed, and that kind of thing. That's yeah. Objective. In other words, when you're taking something and spinning it or putting a value judgment on it, then you're getting into a subjective area. In other words, the difference between objective investigation and subjective material, you have to always make a distinction there when you're studying these things.
Right.
So the reason I'm making that distinction is in my reading of things having to do with my old denomination, I ran into a lot of very subjective things that were saying, well, this person is a crook, they're a liar, we shouldn't put our trust in them, we need to follow the Lord and follow the Bible, and don't listen to this person anymore. Well, that's subjective. I want to see the original letters where they actually lied. Evaluate and do some evaluation there and make my own decision. The reason I'm asking that is because of the concern about faction, and where do you draw the line between actually being honest and evaluating the truth, or at what point you just keep your mind shut and don't look at anything. And just be a true believer. I'm saying that in a sarcastic way. If you know what I'm saying and why I'm saying it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're doing a study on an objective study on, and I caught a lot of that, some of it I didn't, so you correct me if I'm wrong. If you're doing a study on a religion, there ain't but one standard that we go by, is it? And that's the Word of God. And if people are adhering to the Word of God, that's fine. That's what makes us objective as far as religions goes, is it has to adhere to the Word of God.
Right.
In all things. Not just in this one over here or that one over there, the ones I want to pick and choose. And of course, we all know that. Now, if it pertains to news, world news, I don't know what your standard could be, do you? Because that's,
well, I'm
that's
simply,
a double playground
I'm,
there.
Right. I'm simply making a distinction between subjective, which is subjective is basically something I don't necessarily want to see.
Yeah.
Because it's somebody else's opinion. Objective simply means original source material, which is this is a letter. This is a statement this person made in a meeting. This is a interview I'm watching. This person, you know, that's objective. That's something you can't really mess with because it's a historical fact.
Yeah.
So the spin is what we all want to try to avoid, the spin.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the Brill creamed hair, the slick voice, the cultured mannerisms. You know, I don't care about that. I just want the fact.
The only way to be objective in what we've got going on today, just take for instance, is hardcore evidence. And if you've got hardcore evidence, you've got past history, then you can make an objective decision. On both sides, as to, you know, that's if that's what you're talking about, and it, certain things like it. But you have to have hardcore. You can't have hearsay. You can't
right.
have somebody said this. Somebody heard somebody say this. You know, that's not evidence. That's not being objective. That's being subjective. If you're taking somebody's word, somebody's secondhand word for it, and but you have to have hardcore evidence
yeah.
against. That person, in my estimation, well, you do. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, and the reason because you were mentioning about people or you know websites that are out there attacking David, and you know again you have to get back to the two witnesses, and it has to be sin that's being dealt with, and you need to have the two witnesses, and you know so. If somebody's just lambasting somebody or being critical, I have no interest in. You know, that kind of thing. So,
well, if you look at the hardcore evidence as far as UBM, all you have to do is go to the website and look at the teachings. People
yeah.
refuse to do that.
Yeah.
They are subjective when they start out in this search and this investigation. And when
yeah.
you're subjective, slander and lies come out of your mouth.
Yep.
I mean, there's nothing.
Or you're offended by something or, you know.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, if you say you get offended by something and then you start lashing out or trying to argue against that because you're offended,
yeah.
you know, that's a...
Yeah, that's not objective, though, is it? I got something against you now.
It's screw loose and fancy free.
Yeah. Praise God. Well, yeah. The people that you see out there, almost every one of them were offended by the word. And there's not a whole lot you can say about them. You just pray for them. What the Lord told us to do is to pray them off of there. And that's what we've been doing. You're going to see that one of these days. And you're going to go up there and all that trash is going to be out of there. I believe it. Lord told us to pray that away. And if he told us to pray that away, he fixed to do something.
Well, the other thing is I think it would be an honor to have some attack, because that means you're, it, well, it doesn't mean you're on the right track, but it just means, you know, if you're upsetting somebody, then like Jesus said, you're guaranteed to have persecution. So it seems like a good thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's the spirit. That's what it is.
No, not what they're doing is a good thing, because it's vessels of dishonor, but it's an indication that somebody's on the right track. Because if you're on the right track, you will have persecution.
Yep.
It's just the way the cookie crumbleth.
Yep, that's right. What's really bad about it is that people who want to know the truth, they get on there. You know, they might have seen something that David said or the study that he had, and they get on there and they say, what is all this garbage? And then they get in there and they say, uh-oh, I don't need to be messing with that. And it's all, gosh, how many people has it kept from getting the truth, you know, a lot of the truth? And look, it's not David that's doing it. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing it.
But it is part of the process of weeding people out.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
You know, I saw a website about my old denomination, and it was really a lot of railing, and they take a fact and then they blow it out of proportion. And I'm not saying I'm trying to defend that organization, but the way this person was going about it was just totally invalid. One thing he said was, this denomination allows people to use all kinds of different translations of the Bible. And because of that, it's false, because the only way it could be a true denomination is if they only allow the King James translation. And I thought, oh my goodness. Where's this guy? Where's this head? Does he know a translation is a translation? And people did their best, you know, but that's it. They did their best. Anyway, I'm glad Paul used the King James. That makes me feel good about it.
Well, I don't, you know, whatever fits your bill, you know. I met a guy that was a radio announcer here locally, and really enjoyed talking with the guy, you know, and he was spirit-filled, and we were talking, you know, and we kind of had some, David was with me, and we had some like discussions. He believes that, you know, that we're fixing to come into some bad times, and also that there's not a pre-tribulation rapture, and he believes that we're going to have to go through it and all this. And, you know, we finally found us a little gem here, you know. He called me one day, and he said, Michael, he said, you won't believe what the station manager reads in the Bible. I said, what's that? He said, he reads the NIV. I said, okay. He said, well, he don't read the King James Version. I said, well, let me clue you in on something. I don't either. And I told him, I said, look, you gotta be weak to the weak. And went that route with him. I didn't want to get into any King James only garbage, you know. But anyway, I haven't talked to him since then. I don't guess he really wanted to talk to me anymore. That's a spirit. That is a out-and-out spirit of religion that gets on him with that King James only garbage. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You know what Kenneth Hagin said?
Seems like if there's going to be a problem out there, it'll present itself.
What, David?
So it seems like if there's going to be an issue, you know, with some kind of a spiritual thing, it's going to present itself eventually. It'll just come out, and then you'll see it, you know, like that King James only, and it just comes. It just comes right out.
Yeah, it does.
I think part of it, too, is just the way people are and kind of a maturity level. People will, you know, if they just don't understand things, they'll make statements or have assumptions, and without really actually thinking through it. And it, you know, it's I shouldn't say it's okay, but it's where they're at, and I have to be careful to you know, let people make simplistic statements and not try to challenge them on every problem that I see. You know what I mean? Because sometimes it's overwhelming. It's like, you know, well, you have four or five misassumptions here, and I'm going to deal with each one and show you where you're wrong. But that maybe the Lord just wants them to know that He loves them right at that point, or something. Who knows? You know.
Well, sometimes it's just best just to hush.
Yeah. Just, that's hard.
Just, yeah, I know it's hard. I know it's hard, but Lord can make us overcomers, can't He? Because we have all these facts and figures in our mind that we could throw at them, but I'm going to tell you something. It ain't going to help a bit in the world until they're ready for it.
It's the Lord's timing, and let him be the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, is anybody, we're getting close.
Do you mind muting me? Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, I'll mute you. Anybody got any prayer requests before we close out tonight? Hey, it's been a good night. I've enjoyed these verses. Before we go, before I pray, does anybody have a question that they want to bring up for Thursday night? Well, if you think of something, email me, and we'll put it out there. If not, I'll try to come up with something tomorrow and send it out to everybody. Well, Father, I just thank you so much for these things that you are showing us, Lord, these answers that you're giving us. This was such a comprehensive answer, Lord, on faction and what happens to people in faction. Not only that, Lord, it shows us how you don't like it, how you hate that factious spirit. And Lord, I just ask that you work in all of our hearts to clear out any kind of criticism, judgmental attitudes or any kind of faction, rebellious spirit. And Lord, I thank you that you're cleaning us all up. And I praise you for it, Father. Lord, I just I ask and I pray that tonight, that we would get a good night's sleep. We'd have dreams and visions. And Lord, I thank you for fixing my headset so the next time I could understand what everybody's talking about. I thank you, Father, that that's what's happening right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for being our God, because I love you, Lord. I love you so much. You're my Father. You are my Father. And I praise you for being my Father. You're a good Father, too, because you give us what the things that we need, Lord. And it's awesome. It is awesome. And I praise you, Lord, for blessing my brothers and sisters out there, Lord. Blessing them mightily with your anointing and your touch, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you, saints, and we'll see you Thursday night. Y'all pray for me, and I'll pray for y'all.